I hope you guys are enjoying the book of James. So practical, so real today. Maybe a little bit tough because we're going to talk about how to manage your mouth. Not because we need a lesson on how to manage our mouths, but because it's where we are in the book of James. We love to talk. There are talk shows everywhere, right? Everybody seems to have something to say. Let me give you some statistics on the average American. You will have 30 conversations a day and you will spend 1/5 of your life talking. In 1 year, just 1 year, every single year, your conversations will fill 66 books, each book with 800 pages. And if you're a man, you will speak about 20,000 words every day. And if you're a woman, you will speak 30,000 words every day. There's a guy who asked, do you resent that your wife has the last word? He replied, no, I'm just glad when she finally gets to it. Or the wife who broke her jaw and she goes in for an x-ray and it turned out to be a motion picture. But we like to talk. And we're so good at it. And some of us are better at it than others. And sometimes the tongue is encouraging and sometimes it tears down. Some of us are born with our feet in our mouths. Peter would be one of those, right? We have this natural ability to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Anybody like that? That's me. It's like, did I just say that? And I did. Nothing is opened more wrongly at the wrong time than our mouths. And once you say something, you don't get it back. It's like the stock boy at the grocery store and the lady asks him, can I buy half a lettuce? And he walks back to his manager to ask, and not realizing that the lady who asked him was walking right behind him, he says, you're not going to believe this, but there's this old bag who wants to buy half of a head of lettuce. And he looks behind him and he sees her standing there and he says, and this fine lady would like to buy the other half. Sometimes we're quick on our feet and we can fix our sharpness, our stupid, quick tongue. And sometimes it bites us and we don't know what to do. Our mouths, my mouth, gets us in trouble. And James talks about the tongue more than any other book in the New Testament. In fact, every chapter of the book of James says something about the mouth. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. James says, if you can control your tongue, if you can control your mouth, you're perfect. But he's not talking about perfect like never make a mistake, perfect, sinless. The word perfection here is really more mature or healthy. When you go to the doctor, the first thing the doctor says when he's assessing your health is, stick out your tongue. And sometimes he's able to see through your tongue what's going on the inside. And sometimes that's a true picture. And that's what James is alluding to here. And James is going to walk us through what it means for us as believers to manage our mouths. You've got to learn to tame your tongue. You've got to get your tongue under control. When I was thinking about a message title, I was tempted to title this sermon, Don't Let Your Tongue Lick You. Because it often does. Why do I need to watch what I say? Why is that even important? Words are significant. That's what James is teaching us. There's three reasons we have to learn to manage our mouth. And in each of those reasons, he's going to give six illustrations, two under each one. He's such a great communicator. And the first one is this, that my tongue directs where I go. This is why we have to learn to manage our tongues, our mouths. Because my tongue directs where I go. It has a tremendous influence over the control of my very life. Where are you headed in life? Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Look at your conversations. Reread your conversations. Go back and rehearse what you've already said. We shape our words, and then our words shape us. James says the tongue is small, it's tiny. And because it's tiny, we think it's insignificant, but that couldn't be further from the truth. And he points that out, right? It's got tremendous power. Verse 3, consider a bit in a horse's mouth. Anybody watch the Kentucky Derby yesterday? Somebody got rich. Man, there's like 80-1 odds on that one, right? And it's like crazy, though, these big, powerful horses, 2,000, 3,000 pounds, they're controlled by this little bit over the tongue of a horse. A little 95-pound jockey. And a little bit controls this 2,000, 3,000 pound horse. The jockey can control the tremendous, mighty horse by a little piece of metal stuck strategically in his mouth. And it's only small, but it's super significant. Likewise, our tongue controls the direction of our lives and where we'll go and how we'll get there. Then he says, consider a ship. Some of you may not know this, but the Queen Mary II has 3 acres of recreational space. I mean, this is a massive ship. Anybody been on a cruise? It's crazy what they cram into these cruises, right? I mean, it's nuts and it's amazing. And yet, the anchor of that ship, its weight equals 10 cars. And yet there's this little insignificant thing called a rudder that controls the direction of this massive ship. And our tongue is like that. Our tongue is like the rudder that steers us. It says they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. My tongue directs where I go in life. Your tongue is the steering wheel of your life. It's the guiding system, and if you don't like where you're headed right now, then you need to change the way you talk. Some of you are just negative Nellies, and you wonder why people don't want to hang with you. Because you're negative. Who wants to hang with negative people? Who wants to hang with people that whine all the time? We want to be around positive people and people that are speaking truth and building people up. Many people think if the tongue has so much influence, maybe it's best to say nothing, to not talk at all. There was a guy who joined the Trappist monastery, and for years he was given this probation period, 3 years. The first people that got into this monastery for 3 years, they were on probation, and they weren't allowed to talk at all for 3 years. But at the end of each year, they were allowed to say 2 words. That's it. And so at the end of the first year, this guy says, bed hard. At the end of the second, he says, food cold. And then at the end of the year, he'd had enough of this and he was like, I quit. And his boss came and said, well, I'm not surprised you complained ever since you got here. But if we did a calculation of all of the words that we say, I wonder how many of them would be negative versus positive. I wonder how much of our content, if we have 20 to 30,000 words, I wonder how many of those words would be building up rather than tearing down. Like somehow it's okay when I go home to rip on people in the church. All the frustrations that I received. I came and I worshiped and I gave praise to the Lord and everything else, and then I go home and beat everybody down that I didn't like. Did you see what that guy was wearing? Did you see what she did? Did you hear what she said? And we just, my tongue, number two, can destroy what I have. Not only does it direct where I go, but it can destroy what I have. Verse 5, James gives another illustration. He says, imagine a beautiful forest, tall, beautiful trees everywhere. Now imagine in 1 minute up in smoke, completely destroyed by a little match. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, right? That's the song. 1983 in Australia, one fire overnight destroyed six, one fire in one night. Destroyed 600 miles of land, villages, and livestock. All from one single match. James says your tongue can destroy like that. You can lose it all. A careless camper can destroy an entire national forest. Thousands of lives. Gossip can destroy thousands of lives. You know gossip is wrong. You know gossip is sin. It spreads quickly and it wreaks havoc. I wonder how many people, because of careless words, have destroyed their marriage or their career or their even reputation. Or their church. I've been a pastor for a long time now. It's crazy to me how the tongue can destroy a church. Ephesians is pretty clear, right? Don't say anything unless it builds up. Don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Proverbs 18 says it this way, you have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Oh, that bites us in the rear end. We're going to live with the consequences of every word that we say. I am responsible for what I say. And it's getting harder and harder, right? Because now we're on tape. You know, everything we say seems to be videoed. And it'll get you in trouble. Say the wrong thing in the workplace today. Very different day today than 10 years ago even, huh? Because it's videoed. And we can replay it. Verse 6 in this chapter says it sets the whole course of life on fire. And it itself set on fire by hell. He's saying here that our words can create a chain reaction. You can say something, even if you didn't mean to say it, even if you didn't mean to hurt somebody, you can say it. And it can have a devastating effect on the very people that hear it. Even if you didn't mean it. Anybody been hurt before by somebody's words? They didn't mean it, but they said it. And it hurts you. Our words have a chain reaction effect that sets the course for hell. Set on fire for hell. A couple comes in and we're going to do some marriage counseling, right? And I said this, and then she said this, and then I said that, and well, then what happened? All hell broke loose. Where does that phrase come from? Right here. Our words. All hell breaks loose when we say stupid stuff or untimely stuff. Our words can cause all hell to break loose. James, but it's just a small thing. It's just my tongue. Yep. And it can destroy. We have to learn to manage our mouth, not only because it can direct us where we go, it can destroy what you have. You can lose your family over your tongue. your career simply by what you say. Proverbs 21 says it this way, if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. If you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. We sing it in Sunday school, right? Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. James uses another illustration, and he goes in and he talks about a zoo. All kinds of animals have been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. We can tame a lion, we can tame, you know, massive beasts, but we can't tame this little tongue. Only God can. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Of all of the animals that we've tamed, no one can tame the tongue, James says. It's restless. It means it has the ability to break out at any moment. When they built the Lion Country Safari, they put signs all around this place. Some of you have been to these safaris where you can drive through, right, and see all of the animals. And it's kind of a cool thing. And it says, do not roll down your window. They may look tame, but in any moment, all hell could break loose. And it's like the tongue. It's a poison. The word in Greek literally means snake venom. Just a few drops, just a few words can kill. How many have ever heard, remember years and years ago when you were on the playground? It's been around at least since I was on the playground. So a long time. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm you. I don't know who said that, but that is the most untrue statement ever. When you call me names, it hurts and it sticks. When you call somebody something, when you trash their name and when you trash their character and when you say evil things about them, when you tear down rather than build up, it hurts and it destroys. Number three, my tongue displays who I am. It reveals my real character. It tells what's really going on the inside of me. First James points out how inconsistent we are in our speech. Verse 9, the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with the same tongue we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. From the same mouth comes praise and cursings. My brothers, who's he talking to? Believers. This should not be. We say things out of the same mouth. We come to church on Sunday morning, right? The highest use of your mouth is to sing praises to God. And then we get out into our car and we argue and beat up and tear down and we fight over what we're going to have for lunch. In one minute we're saying praise the Lord, and the next minute we're saying shut up. And brothers, this ought not to be, is what James says. It's so inconsistent. It's amazing how quickly we can change. It's almost like this little thing has such control over us that all of us become, in one sense, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Come on, be real. You know what I'm talking about. It's like one minute I'm Holy Joe and the next minute I'm Joe Pagan. One minute I'm singing God's praise, I'm studying God's word, I'm preaching God's word, and the next minute I'm ripping on my wife. For something stupid, usually. It's petty. But she got the best of me. Or he got the best of me. And we have a way to do that, right? We just keep going and keep going and keep going, and then it's said. And then I don't get it back. And it tears down my relationship. It destroys it. bothers me so much. I think, how is it possible that I can be so loving to certain people and then hurt people? Hurt people. If you've been hurt, the byproduct of that is that sometimes we hurt people in that process. And unfortunately, we usually hurt the ones that we love the most, the most. I get home, I'm in that sweet spot, my comfort zone. Nobody else knows that old Pastor Dan just spewed out venom to his wife or his kids. But he's done that a lot over the course of a long time. And it drives me crazy. It's like, I say it and it's like, and then I'm thinking, how did that happen? How did that even come out of my mouth? James gives the answer, verse 11 and 12. He says, consider the source. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So, circle this, write this down in your notes. This is, you know, the golden nugget for today's message. Whatever is in the well comes out in the water. Whatever is in the well comes out in the water. Whatever is in the tree comes out in the fruit. What is the likelihood of an apple tree producing cherries? Never. My problem is, it is not really my tongue. My problem is my heart. My mouth eventually betrays what's really on the inside of me. I can fool you and I can pretend and I can come to church and I can give praise to Jesus and I can bless you and then beat the snot out of my family. Verbally. We do that. I can fool you and but eventually my tongue, James says, is going to catch up to me. It's going to lick you. It's going to beat you. It's going to let you know how you really are on the inside, because what's in the well will eventually come out in the water. Have you heard the excuse? Maybe you've said this excuse, used this excuse. Someone says something really mean or hurtful, or you say something really mean or hurtful, and you have said or you've heard somebody else, I don't know where that came from. I do. You. You said it. That wasn't me. Doggone it. Looked like you. It was you. Don't deceive yourself. It was you. Whatever is in the well, whatever is in your heart, will eventually come out of your mouth. James is saying, yeah, it's just like you. You meant it. Quit kidding yourself. What's on the inside is going to come out. You don't have a spring that one minute gives salt water and the next gives fresh water. If your heart is impure, so are you, and the words that come out of your mouth will not be helpful. They'll be hurtful. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 12:34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus explained the Freudian slip. Before Freud ever existed, he said, what's on the inside of you is going to come out. My tongue just displays what I really am. It directs where I go. It destroys what I have. But most of all, it simply displays who I really am. And really, when I look at that, that can be really frustrating. Let me help you with that. If you've got a problem with your tongue, it's much more serious than you think. You have a heart problem. That's what James says. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. Because what's in the well, your heart, comes out of your mouth. On the other hand, a person who's always encouraging has got a happy heart. A person who speaks gently has a loving heart. A person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. So what's the solution then? What is James? Where is he taking us? If those three truths are true, what's the solution to make my heart clean so that the words that come out of my mouth are managed well and bring glory to God, bring praise to God rather than destroy? One, it says, get a new heart. Some of you remember Ezekiel 38, where he tells us that we're going to have a new heart. You've got to get a new heart. It's the problem, right? Rid yourself of all of the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Painting the outside of the pump doesn't make any kind of change if there's poison in the well. And that's what we do as church people. We dress up the facade. We make it look good on the outside. We paint it. But the problem isn't on the exterior. Some of us just don't look that good. But it's not, aren't you glad that God doesn't look at the outward appearance, but that He looks at the heart? He sees what's really going on the inside. I know some amazingly ugly people who are so precious on the inside. I know that's a terrible thing to say. Ugly is relative. But humanly speaking, that's how we do it. And then even in that comment, right, that's an ugly statement. We say things because it's culturally acceptable, even though it's not appropriate. When God looks at, He created us, is there any ugly then? How do I get a new heart? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 would be the classic verse that we all know, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God has to do something. He's got to transform us so that He changes us. And the temptation is going to be to go back to conform to the patterns of this world. But the patterns of this world are not edifying. They're not building one another up. They're more prone to tear down. Unfortunately, the church has bought into this whole thing, right? It's a terrible day. The church comes and we sing our praises and everything else, but we tear one another down. We destroy people with our tongues. The world would look at the church today and Rick Warren said it this way. He said, when the world looks at the church today, what it sees is a body whose arms and legs have been amputated, and all that's left is a big mouth. We're no longer creatures of service. We're not serving one another. We're just blah, blah, blahing. People know the church more for what it's against than what it's for. We need to speak good news. And the good news is not you're dying and going to hell. That's bad news. The good news is that he was hung up for your hang-ups, so you don't have to hang yourself up. Quit hanging yourself up. Jesus took your place. He died on your behalf because he loved you so much. That's good news. That's the gospel. That's the message that we should be sharing. Jesus said it this way. Matthew 12:24, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is saying, I've got you on this. So be transformed so that your heart is transformed. We need to pray like David of old in Psalm 51, that repentant song. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. When God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you, and I hope he is today, because church, we have big mouths. We're guilty of not building up, but tearing down. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us this morning, then we need to repent and we need to be transformed and we need to pray as David did. Create in me, right now say it, create in me, oh God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Forgive me for the words that I've said that have torn down rather than built up. Number two, ask God for help every day. Number one was get a new heart. Number two is ask God for help every day. Why every day? Because you talk every day. A lot of words. You need supernatural power to control your tongue because you can't do it alone. James has already said that. The tongue is so hard to be tamed. Wrong moment, wrong time. I can spew. How about you? Psalm 141:3. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. I'm thinking, David must have had a tongue problem too, right? Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a great verse to memorize. Everybody just go home and write that verse down. Put it on your dashboard. Put it wherever, on your refrigerator. Every time, read it this week. Set a guard over my mouth, O God. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God, put a muzzle on my mouth. Guard my lips. Don't let me be critical today. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me say things off the cuff that I'm going to regret later on. You need to ask God for help daily because you need His power in your life every day. The proof that God's Spirit is in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue, but that you control the tongue that you do know. You want to talk about a Spirit-controlled life? It's not speaking in tongues. It's controlling the tongue that God gave you. Getting into God's Word is part of asking God for help. You ask Him for your help. You need His Word. You know, some of you are computer geeks. It's old verbiage, right? But it's garbage in, garbage out. Because once I let it into my eye gate or my ear gate, and once it flows to my heart, and then out of the overflow of my heart, the mouth speaks. I don't know about you, but I just have fallen in love with Philippians 4:8 in my Bible. In Philippians chapter 4, y'all can't see this very well, but this is actually a coffee filter. And I keep it in there, and it says Philippians 4:8, my filter. Philippians 4:8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you have learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. Because when we put whatever it is through the filter of that text, good stuff comes out rather than bad stuff. Lastly, think before you speak. Anybody have a problem with that? I'm so quick. My son, it beat me. I've got a quick wit, and usually it's funny, but sometimes it's inappropriate. Like my mind works at warp speed. Like we're having a conversation and you say something, immediately I have a response. The older I get, the wiser I get, the more I've learned not to say everything that I'm thinking. You don't want to know everything that this old pastor thinks. Because some of it's stinking thinking. But that's what he's talking about here. Think before you speak. Engage your mind before you put your mouth in gear. James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. It's a great verse here in context. There's a designation here. There's this order. First, be quick to listen. It's why God gave us two ears, one mouth. So be quick to listen and then slow to speak. If you're quick to listen, you'll be slower to speak. And if you're slow to speak, then you will be slow to become angry. If you have a problem with anger, you need to work on being quick to listen and slow to speak. You don't need to resolve it all in 2 seconds. Sometimes you need to sleep on it. Sometimes when I have a difficult email gets you in trouble. By the way, email is words. When you write down words, they may not come out of your mouth, but if they come off of your pen or they come off of your text or whatever it is, you don't get those back. Sometimes I get a response from people, even church people, and I want to have at them. And I do write a quick response. I'm grateful that I don't send all my quick responses. Because when I have in the past, they have bitten me where I don't want to be bitten. Sometimes I just need to write it, get my thoughts on paper, set it aside, go back and read it, and then it's like, ooh, that's harsh. I don't want to say it that way. I need to say something. Lord, give me kind words. Conflict resolution. That's another whole topic. Love that topic. We would do well to resolve things, and this is how James says we do it. What does your tongue say about you? What does it reveal about you? If you were to play back a tape of every conversation you ever had just this past week, what would we learn about you? Conversations that you've had, letters that you've written, texts that you've written. If all of that were up here on a screen, and we could just like Dan O'Dean's said this, wrote this, texted this, what would that say about who I am? Because it does say who I am, right? That's what James is saying. Some people say, I'm just sick all the time, or I can never do anything. Things are just getting tougher and tougher. Those statements give the direction of their lives. Mental health is a real thing today. You know this, right? Our mental health is important. I can psych myself into getting sick. I'm not saying sickness isn't real, but sometimes if I'm feeling under the weather like I was this morning, if I dwell on that thought, then I don't even want to get out of bed. And I couldn't dwell on that thought this morning because I had to come here. And I don't feel all that great today. But I had to drag myself out of bed and I had to be as positive as I could be, looking forward to the opportunity that I have. Or I could have psyched myself out and said, you're sick. This day sucks. I don't want to even go out and be with people today. I could have done that. What I say determines what that day is going to unfold. It's the bit and the rudder. It has to be under the hand of a strong arm. James is saying that the only way that you get to control your tongue is to let Jesus have control of your heart. Let me say that again. What James is teaching us this morning is that you have to let Jesus take control of your heart. When Jesus gets your heart, that's how he controls your tongue. You let Christ's hand be on you like that bit is on the horse's tongue. And you let him be the rudder steering your ship wherever it may go. I don't know what it is this morning that God is saying to you, but can we be real enough to know that our words hurt? And oftentimes they hurt others. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness. Maybe you need to go to your kids this afternoon and you need to say, I'm sorry that I've been so inconsistent. I tell you to love and to be kind, and I'm not very loving, and my words aren't very kind. Sometimes I'm harsh. We're all human. We all stumble in many ways, all of us. Maybe you need to go home and you need to apologize to your wife, or you need to apologize to your husband. I'm not as loving to you as I ought to be. My speech isn't always as edifying as it should be. Sometimes the words that come off my tongue tear you down rather than build you up. I'm sorry for that. That's hard, by the way. That's easy to say. That's hard to go do. To recognize that my tongue has such control. Ezekiel says it this way. And I want to pray over you. Get rid of all your offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Would you pray with me? In the quietness of this moment, I don't know what God through His Spirit is saying to you. But I'm guessing all of us, because we're human, have been guilty and probably could use a little bit of asking forgiveness for the words that we have spoken. And I would encourage you that if you said something sharp this week, or if something comes to your mind, and it happened 10 years ago, but it came to your mind right now, somebody that you ripped on or tore down, would you be bold enough and brave enough to go and make that right? They might not forgive you because those words hurt them. It might take some time. But would you begin the process of restoration, of change, of transforming your life, of allowing Jesus to control your heart so that the words that come out of your mouth today, tomorrow, and this week would be words of praise and of building one another up? Can we bring words of encouragement? The words that we choose, the thoughts that we choose to focus on, gives the direction of our future. New Beginnings Church, do you want to focus on all of the nasty past? Or do you want to focus on words of encouragement, of building up, of saying what it can be again? Can we bury the hatchet? Can we move past all of the things that have been spoken and let go of that stuff and just put it at the cross so that God can transform our hearts and make us new and then use us, because He can't do anything through us until He does something in us. Because whatever is in the well comes out in the water. Forgive us, Lord, for when we've been too quick to speak, too slow to listen. Lord, help us to do a better job of loving You and loving people this week. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.